Good morning, everyone. This morning, there's a pause in the sort of news hysteria related to the Gulf oil gusher. The oil is still spilling into the Gulf, although it is partially contained, we learn. So this is a good moment to actually think back 1 month since the Deepwater Horizon oil rig exploded. And we've learned a lot during that month.
I think so.
We've
learned a lot about how these things happen and then how you contain them, if you can.
Well, I don't know if we've learned much of how to contain them. They certainly tried a lot of things.
I think I've learned that we don't know how to do that, and that's, to me, is surprising.
Well, we've learned about blowout preventers.
Right.
Also. Kill mud.
Right. Junk shots.
Junk shots. All kinds of technology that's been applied. And we thought we would revisit this month since the Deepwater Horizon explosion with someone who's a friend of the program and someone who both has a real stake in the outcome down there and someone whom we met when President Obama announced his policy to actually open more offshore drilling some many months ago. Frances Coleman joins us now, editorial page editor for the Mobile Press Register. She's on the line from Jackson, Mississippi. Good morning, Frances.
Good morning.
Well, you've lived a coon's age, I guess we could say, in the last month, correct?
That's true. A lot of us have a lot more gray hair than we had on April 19th.
Well, forgive me now, but I'm going to play a comment that you made to us announcing your support when Obama came out.
Words I'm going to have to eat.
No, you're not going to have to eat them, but I think it's useful for all Americans to think just how far we've come. This is what you said on The Takeaway on April 1st this year.
Where there's oil, we need to go for it. We have the technology to make it a safe and relatively, it'll never be 100%, you know, clean, but we can make it reasonably safe, and we should go for it.
And that was as you were preparing to do a supportive editorial in your paper about the Obama policy. If you had to write that editorial this morning, what do you think you would say differently?
We have actually written that editorial in the last week or two, and we didn't say a lot different, but we did say the technology is there to make this a relatively safe operation. Now, we were let down by some of the regulators, as it turns out. As y'all were saying a minute ago, we've learned an awful lot that we didn't know maybe before.
Mm-hmm.
But we have written the same editorial, somewhat differently nuanced, saying it can be safe. We have been let down. But our nation's dependence on oil continues. If we decided tomorrow, well, we're going to convert to all nuclear and we're going to have wind farms everywhere, who knows how many years it would be before we could put that into place? At least, what, 10?
Well, and certainly economically speaking, and this is not to prejudge the conversation one way or another, economically speaking, you don't have a choice. You have to stay with the fossil fuel industry down there. It's really an employer for you, right?
This is a region that has depended on that industry for, 50, 60, 70 years when you talk about onshore drilling.
So a month doesn't necessarily change the minds of residents down there. But listen to David Axelrod, senior White House advisor, speaking really just a few days after we began to learn the worst.
No domestic drilling in new areas is going to go forward until there is a adequate review of what's happened here and of what is being proposed elsewhere.
Now, do you view that as responsible sort of caution or maybe just sort of rhetoric trying to avoid sort of political fallout from everything that's happened?
Well, I'm first of all shocked that you would suggest that a politician would engage in rhetoric.
I know, it's
but beyond
horrible
that,
of me.
I think that's reasonable. I think no one else in the country would even consider allowing such a thing to happen to them until we've had a thorough review of what happened here. Politically, you know, the president now is going to have a heck of a sale on his hands to try to convince anyone else that they should risk what they've seen happen on the Gulf Coast.
Here's a politician who it sounds like is more in agreement with you. She's from the neighboring state of Louisiana. It's Senator Mary Landrieu, who seems to be suggesting that they're tied to the Gulf oil resource, good or ill, and they have to move forward. Listen.
We have to take responsibility to drill where we can safely, out away from our shores, is as safe as we can be. We obviously have to improve our technology, and that we will. Retreat, we won't.
But Arnold Schwarzenegger, governor of California, who has his own offshore resource to consider, did sound like he was retreating. Listen.
I see on TV the birds drenched in oil, the fishermen out of work. The massive oil spill, oil slick destroying our precious ecosystem. That would not happen here in California. And this is why I am withdrawing my support for the T-Ridge project.
Now, as an editorial page editor there in Mobile, how do you resolve those kinds of statements from politicians? Because these are actions. You know, these aren't just speeches.
That is true, and I think in Florida, Charlie Crist has had the same reaction, whereas a few months ago he would have been more supportive. He has withdrawn that support. Both of those fellows are politicians, and they know what the stakes are personally, but they also know what the stakes are for their own states. It's a little bit, it's almost pathetic, though, to hear other states carrying on about, oh, we can't have that happen to us. I wonder if they're as worried about the fact that it's happened to us down here on the Gulf Coast. And so there's some sense down here that people feel a little bit like others in the country don't worry so much as long as it's our economy and our environment. But they certainly don't want this to happen to theirs. But still, we understand it. It looks terrible. It is terrible.
You know, there has been a bit of a blame game going on with everyone trying to blame someone else, Francis. And it sounds to me, you keep saying that we were let down by the regulators. It sounds to me like that's who you hold responsible, is the government regulators. Is that right?
Well, I think first and foremost, people do look at BP. As y'all were talking, as the show began, we've learned a lot about blowout preventers and drilling muds, and we've also learned a lot about regulations that perhaps were not adhered to, and regulators who perhaps were more responsive to the industry they regulate than to the American public.
You're referring to the MMS agency.
That's right, Minerals right. Management.
Right, and again, there's an acronym we've learned a lot about.
You know, isn't it the truth? Who ever heard of MMS before this? An awful lot of people had not. So I think people in general look at BP as the biggest of the blame holders, but also wonder if this federal agency that's supposed to regulate that industry and protect the public has indeed done its job.
Well,
and that comes out, I suppose, as these hearings continue.
Well, Francis, we've got to go, but quickly, can you explain what the worst moment for you was? For me, it was watching the industry officials in Capitol Hill point blame at each other, but how about for you?
It was, let's see, the explosion happened on a Tuesday, the 20th of April. It's funny, it's easy to remember that date now. I think it was about a week later, and I had spent all of the day in and around the newsroom at my newspaper. And then I was driving home, and it just sort of sunk in on me on how very real it was.
Well, it certainly is real, and it's great to talk to you. Francis Coleman, editorial page editor for the Mobile Press Register, living a month since the Deepwater Horizon exploded in the Gulf. Thanks so much, Francis.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.